Bob Choi, Ivan. I am so fucking lonely on the social media.
No, you're not. Everybody touches your dick.
No, nobody loves me. Where do I find some love on social media?
Everybody loves you, and everybody loves going to facebook.com/nerdfunnel, youtube.com/nerdfunnel, or our website at nerdfunnel.com to spread the love around.
What if I want to show pictures of myself?
I go to Pornhub.
Oi.
That's awkward.
I want to show pictures of myself, and I want to see pictures of other people. What is the best way to find NerdFunnel?
Oh, you can find
Pornhub.com.
And Instagram. You can search us on Instagram for NerdFunnel, and you can also tweet us at NerdFunnel. But until you can do all that, why don't you listen to us?
Or go on to Pornhub.com.
Or listen to us while watching porn.
There's no better way to maintain your erection than listening to NerdFunnel.
Hey everyone, we're back. You're listening to Nerd Funnel, where we take all the nerd news of the world and funnel it into your more than willing ear holes. I'm Bob Shui, and with me tonight is Steven.
This is the final countdown.
And Fong.
Le poisson.
What the fuck is that?
Poisson. That's a...
It's fish.
Yeah,
it's the song that the super racist French chef from The Little Mermaid sings.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's really bad. Because he has like the worst French accent.
Oh, racist against the French.
Yeah. He has that French laugh.
And speaking of accents, let's not forget Ivan.
Oh, I was going to do, I am the man who will fight for your honor.
Also, the chivalrous and ever evangelizing Ivan.
Evangelizing of Karate Kid 2.
Let me tell, excuse me, sir, has anyone told you about the power of the Karate Kid?
No, I was talking about the power of yourself, man.
Oh.
Has anyone told you about me? I'm Ivan. I'm chivalrous.
Now I want to know more.
And now I can do accents.
Now I need to know more.
Would you like to know more?
About Ivan?
Would you like to know more?
I just got that thing from Starship Troopers where...
I'm glad you picked it up when I was putting it down.
Yeah, I was just like I just... Now, great, now every time I see your face, I'm going to have that big...
Would
splashy,
you like to know more?
...splashy gold text across your face like, would you like to know more?
Is like Casper Van Dien or whatever...
Casper Van Dien, yeah.
Yeah? This fucking face where it says the need to know more intensifies.
Oh, that's awesome. So, how's everyone doing?
Good.
Oh, don't get all crazy on me at once.
Sorry, I'm doing well.
You're doing well.
I pooped out a la poisson.
A la poisson.
It's a la, le poisson.
Le poisson, I don't know.
We don't have Manny here to correct my French.
No, we don't know. He's
down a whole fish?
I don't know. I'm assuming that's what came out.
Wow. Probably smelled similar. Would you like to know more? Click. So what's going on in the nerd world? I wanted to start, we've got a topic for tonight, but wanted to start by kind of recapping some stuff that's going on. This week, this is the end of May-ish. This may go up in a couple weeks. So it may be a little bit dated, but I just want to talk about it. Star Trek Beyond got its new trailer this week. I'm super stoked because it was cut.
What is Star Trek Beyond?
Star Trek Beyond is the third Star Trek movie that's coming out in August.
Oh, cool.
Let me guess what Steven's reaction is going to be.
Oh, please do. Please do. I haven't watched the trailer, so I have no idea.
Okay. It's much better cut, more emotional. The music is not Beastie Boys. It's more Star Trek-y.
Right, and there's
What was the original Beastie Boys trailer?
It was Sabotage.
That sounds way better.
Because they played it in the first movie, because when Kirk stole his stepdad's car, he was playing Sabotage.
Yeah.
I mean, awesome. It worked in the movie, the first one.
So what is this third movie supposed to be about?
So at the end of the second movie, Kirk dies temporarily. Just,
right,
it,
right.
It was basically a rip of Star Trek II Wrath of Khan, except the roles were inverted.
Right.
Spock learns about his emotions by melding with a dying Admiral Pike, and then they go off to the Klingon homeworld to chase Khan. They bring Khan back. It turns out that the Admiral that was in charge of putting together this new battleship plan wants to start a war so he can be a warmonger and take
which
control
is directly
of Starfleet.
Ripped it. That entire storyline is ripped right out of Wing Commander 4.
Basically. And then Khan wants to get revenge on the Admiral for killing all or subjecting him to treatments and using him to build his ship and imprisoning his family. And
blah, blah,
it's
a
blah,
super
blah, blah.
Dope ship design, though.
Yeah,
the
Vengeance class was a pretty good ship design. I got to say that.
Buddy!
It was supposed to be the Excelsior class if the Excelsior class had been built for war.
Yeah, dude.
The big twist was that Khan. Well, originally they were playing it up that it wasn't Khan. He was going by a pseudonym,
right.
But eventually...
John Harrison.
John Harrison. But that people saw through that. They knew it was Khan. And then he comes out as Khan. And so in Star Trek 2...
And that was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Yeah.
Right.
And the original Star Trek 2...
I don't like Benedict Cumberbatch.
No?
I'm taking an unpopular stance of like...
I'm going to agree with you in this movie because I was like...
I don't like him in anything. Like
you still haven't seen Sherlock.
Yeah, sure.
He's good in Sherlock.
Really great in Sherlock.
I don't like his face.
Nah, I don't think
but
anybody.
Maybe
really
you'll
does.
Like him in Doctor Strange.
But
maybe you never know.
You know,
well,
a
I
vagina
like...
with hair on it still looks like a vagina.
I don't like his face either.
Prove
but
me
I do
wrong.
Think he's a good actor.
See, he doesn't seem like that good of an actor. I mean, I haven't seen him in much, admittedly. So I don't know. But like, he wasn't great in Star Trek.
No,
like,
I say, again, Sherlock. He's really solid.
Sherlock.
In
Sherlock.
It just doesn't
is
seem interesting to me. So.
So,
you would think that, but, and I said that going into it, and when I watched, I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of fucking get it.
So Khan, in Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, the original, Spock dies to save the crew from
and then we get,
Khan's
and then we get
plan.
Young Spock in Star
and
Trek
then in this one, Kirk dies to save the crew, and young Spock figures out, like, how to deal with emotions by watching Kirk die.
So does this mean we get to skip Star Trek 3 and go straight to Star Trek 4 with the whales and shit?
Well, they... No, they didn't even skip... They didn't skip anything. They brought him back right at the end. They didn't even let that death of Kirk, which pissed me off. They didn't let the death of Kirk
right.
simmer.
Yeah.
They brought him right back using Khan's super blood.
That's right.
But right after that, the crew of the Enterprise gets their 5-year mission
to
explore deep space.
Yeah, then that's where they leave off. And so now this is them going into deep space and encountering a new race and... Idris Elba
Romulans?
Plays the villain. No, not Romulans. They had Romulans in the first one, actually.
No, who are
I don't even know what they are.
They're a new species. They're not canon at all. They're not part of any new anything.
Do you think they're going to do space whales?
No.
Are they going to do whales?
In the movies?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think they're going to do the whales and all that again?
Probably not.
No.
Well, they've been riffing on the original movie, so like, why wouldn't they do whales?
I don't know if they're going to go through with a fourth.
It would be awesome if they did the whales.
Because they got the new show coming up, and CBS has got the show coming up next year. So
yeah,
it's,
that's right.
Maybe they'll do space whales in the show.
I would hope that they would do the whales, but then when they slingshot and go back in time for them,
yeah.
they end up in the same time period.
Oh.
So it's still like, it's still double dumbass on you, the guy with the big boom box. Like,
oh.
That would be awesome.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I would really be happy about that.
So this
the thing that you'll like about this movie is it's directed by Justin Lim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Of Fast and the Furious fame.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's got Idris Elba is like the main antagonist, and it's a new race of villains, and they're out in space exploring. And
No. Is it?
It's new stuff. So,
except for when the Enterprise blows up. That's kind of the same from...
That's kind of the same from 3.
From 3.
Yeah.
But you get to see the Enterprise in the preview. You
oh,
see
yeah,
the Enterprise blow up.
Yeah,
it looks pretty blown up. But then they also teased... They teased the NX class, so they're going a little backwards, I guess, or like they're getting a sub in ship, which is the NX class,
which is from
Enterprise
UPN's Enterprise,
yeah, which was a show that was set before the Kirk era.
Yep.
So anyway, we'll see what happens. All I know is
that Scott Bakula?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm a little more
Captain
excited about
Captain
this one. Also, I happen to be Facebook friends with
Scott Bakula?
Oh my god, god, I wish.
Hope. What?
Why? Oh my god, that's great.
If you were friends with Scott Bakula and haven't had him on the podcast, I don't know that I could ever forgive you.
No,
I'm Scott Bakula is the A-list of the A-list.
I'm not friends with Scott Bakula.
Us or just in general?
Like in general, he's like so A-list that they can't even legally have him in Hollywood list. Anymore.
I'm not friends with Scott Bakula yet.
Okay.
No, Darren.
If you were friends, if I was friends with Scott Bakula every day, I would just send him a message saying, "Ziggy says that you need to go and do this."
I would
every day.
Ask him
every
to like
every day.
I would ask him to quantum leap into me.
Fuck you,
please stop.
You wouldn't ask him to like quantum leap inside you. I mean, that's what you guys call it these days.
He would take you right, to court for a restraining order, and then he'd be like, "It's not me, it's Ziggy." use the Ziggy defense.
Look, it says right here, Ziggy says.
Ziggy says.
Ziggy says because Ziggy said it.
God, we need to watch more Quantum Leap.
Oh God, yes we do.
Yes.
So where I lost my train of thought now. Star Trek.
We quantum left off Star Trek.
Yeah.
Facebook friends with Darren.
Darren Benjamin, who's on Trekcast, out of Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
He's
cool.
A huge deal in the podcasting community, and he does Trekcast with David Thomas Ivey out of Vegas, and they've been doing that for like 6, 7, 8 years now.
Oh, wow.
Trekcast. And they're super stoked because the new movie's coming out, but also they're getting a new show to riff on, so that's cool. But
he got
invited to the Paramount. They had a big thing in Paramount Studios last week, a big promo for the new movie. They had like a big set design workup. They had the actors visit, and Darren got invited because he's such a big, so big in the Trek community, well-connected. He knows Rod Roddenberry, who was Gene Roddenberry's son.
That's cool.
So he got first look at everything, and so he was putting up – he was like live tweeting the show. He was putting up videos and everything, so I checked that out, and it does look pretty impressive. Like, I am kind of getting more stoked on this film.
Like, I'm glad they recut that trailer, because the first one was a poor, poor representation.
Yeah.
And even Simon Pegg was
that's nowhere
near the heart of this movie.
And that's why I'm still excited about this movie, is because Justin Lin is directing, and Simon Pegg helped write it. So I'm like, those guys are really good.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
I'm still stoked on that. So that was that, and then we're moving ahead with the Star Trek series that's coming out next March in 2017. They're going to release one show a week on CBS, their live stream thing.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be an anthology.
It's not going to be on TV though.
Yeah,
it eventually will. It's going to start on online. They're going to release one episode a week on their online service.
That's weird.
Yeah, and then they're going
to.
It's
not a pay service, is it?
I think it might be.
Everyone wants to fucking go towards that.
Yeah, seems that way.
So I think they're going to use.
Looking at you, BBC, you fucktards.
I think they're going to try and test drive their CBS on demand or whatever. But then eventually they'll put it on TV. But it's going to be an anthology. It's going to be serialized. So it's going to be like, well, this year it's going to be set between Star Trek 600 Discovery Country and then
TNG somewhere.
But
following
year,
a lot of years.
Yeah. So it's no man's land. They can do whatever they want. And they released a teaser trailer this week saying with just a bunch of space porn, but playing a new song. And it's like a new villain, a new crew, new ships, new everything. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. And it's going to be set in the Prime universe, not the JJ verse.
Right.
So that's really exciting from a Trekkie point of view. And
why is that better that it's in the Prime universe? Because like, isn't JJ universe like the future? Like, that's where we want to be.
Well, I think it's Legend of Zelda syndrome. I think either one's exciting for me now, but I think you have more playroom.
Well, Legend of Zelda syndrome would be that like none of the universes matter and it's all bullshit anyways.
Yep. You were dreaming, Bobby. It's all a dream.
You're
inside a whale.
You're living in a universe where the shit in Legend of Zelda actually matters, where in reality it does not matter at
all. Don't just rip the tattoo off my shoulder with your freaking fingernails.
If I could, I would. If I could, I would, sir.
Ouch, man.
I think part of the argument is that for like a lot of Trekkies, they don't like what J.J. Abrams did with their
they made
toy.
It fun. He made it fun.
He did make it fun. I totally agree. Well, at the same time, Star Trek is supposed to be more philosophical in terms of like
it's more supposed to be like science fiction and not so fantastical.
Right. It's supposed to be thinking about the human concept versus
Go faster. More so about finding a relationship between other races and finding
and seeing the humanity in that
and
the
then same. Fucking them.
Did you like the new movies? The new Star Trek movies, Steven?
If you're Kirk.
The new ones?
Did you enjoy them?
They were way more fun than like the old ones.
Okay.
Like
I'm the most excited I've been is that you've mentioned that the Fast and the Furious director is now doing these, because I'm like, oh, he's going to be awesome doing it.
See, all they're going to do is, like, they're going to talk about family.
Right, it's going to be about family, finding your way home.
And then, you know,
drifting the Enterprise.
Drifting in an NX-01.
How the fuck do you drift in space, by the way?
And a warp bubble, by the way. How fucking cool does that warp bubble look?
That looks pretty fucking awesome.
Like, I think that's the first time you get to see it from, like, this, I guess, the side view.
The side, yeah.
But,
I'm sorry, cool. I'm just thinking of, like, Kirk drifting in space, like, check this shit out. We know Kirk, we're in space, like, there's no friction.
Yeah.
all I want to imagine is just Kirk doing, like, the 360 wheel spin, like, just, like, you know, furiously.
Well, the thing is, Kirk doesn't actually drive the ship, it's Sulu, so hey, Sulu, drift this shit, and then, like, Sulu has
to
pull
up on the drive. Well, of course he can, because he's Japanese.
Now it feels racist. Now this feels racist. I'm not okay with this.
Wait, no, Sulu's the one who drives the ship.
And it's Justin Lim driving the movie.
Although, in all fairness, that might also be a very progressive notion that they're having the Asian drive
the
all
ship.
Of the white people.
But
so that's
it's
also
been progressive since the 60s.
Yeah, that's
so
what they
then
did
again,
first.
It's a very they had the gay Asian guy driving the ship in the 60s, so that's a very progressive
notion.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
And that's what Star Trek is supposed to be about.
Yep.
And then apparently that's what they're pissed off and it's not.
That it's about explosions and excitement and fun.
Yeah.
Instead of boring.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to say.
I would say that it is kind of about both.
Like, I think they're getting there. I think they're getting there.
Like, my favorite Star Trek show is Next Gen.
Yeah.
Like, because that's just what I grew up with. And also, oh my god, Riker.
Oh yeah, beard.
That, everybody likes
hashtag
a beard, right?
Beard porn.
Yeah. Well, I preferred him without the beard, but then he wasn't Riker without it. And so it just, I have very conflicting feelings about it. But I feel like if you view the new movies as, like, a separate entity, then I find it difficult to be offended by it, because of course it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Why would it not? It's for another generation.
Yep.
Well, what pisses me off is when I hear people talk about, like, they're mad that it's not the same thing. Like, that's annoying to me, because it's like, if you wanted the same thing, the original property still exists. Just go back and watch the same thing.
Yeah, if you want the same thing, Netflix got all of them on there. Netflix and chill, bitch.
See, and what's stupid is that people want them to do the same thing, just newer, which is dumb. Like, that's a completely idiotic notion and sentiment.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for the hard part for the writers is that they've got so many things, like, so many people asking them for different stuff.
Right.
So the network heads and the production company heads want big draw, right? So
right.
They want the action, they want the boobies, they want the blow-ups, they want...
Did you say they want the boobies?
Boobies,
okay.
The sex.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
That drives the dollars, too.
Confirming.
That's something that's never going to change. Sex is going to sell no matter what century you're in.
There weren't really that many sexy women
Dude,
on Star
young
Trek.
Young Uhura.
On the original Star Trek?
Yeah.
No, just in Star Trek in general. It's not like a hottie-centric universe, really.
New
TNG, TNG, not so much. DS9, they sexed it up as they went along.
Mm. Okay.
Voyager sexed it up huge when they got 7 and 9.
Oh, wait, no. No to Next Gen, because you know why?
They had Whoopi Goldberg.
No,
there you go.
I was going to say...
The height of sexuality.
Yeah. I was going to say they had underage Will Wheaton, and for whatever reason, like, do you remember, like, at one point during the series, like, everyone, like, switched out of the unitards and got, like, two pieces, except for Will Wheaton for some reason? And then I remember, like, there's a part where, like, these cards fall out of the whatever, the panel, and Data's trying to put it back together, and Will Wheaton's, like, bent over on the floor, is like, I got it!
That's that episode's called The Naked Time. It's episode 3.
Oh,
of the first season.
What?
Oh, yeah, and he gets drunk. Will Wheaton gets drunk.
Yep,
and the
virus makes them all drunk.
Okay. Yeah, he's like 15 or something, and he's like, oh, it's strange.
Why is Will Wheaton a thing? I don't understand his...
Because he's fun.
What's his appeal?
Yeah, not even his appeal, because he's a charming guy and like whatever. Why did he suddenly conquer the internet? That's what I don't understand.
Because he was an original nerd coming into it, like, of a fan of the show. He's like the analog for all the fans of us who gets to do what he wants, and he's won the hearts and minds of nerds everywhere.
And I imagine it was because he was one of the first.
Yeah.
He's the Neil Patrick Harris of the nerd universe.
Yeah.
He's the guy that had the childhood career, went out of the spotlight for a while, and came back and ruled it.
And then now he still represents all of, like, the ideals that we uphold. He's like, he's still really into it, and he's like outspoken. He's well known, and he's basically a you know, a big brother for us to kind of like.
He had his own show on Sci-Fi like, for a while, with. But they unfortunately they canceled it.
Yeah, aww. But he's with the Nerdist now, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
is he?
Yeah,
he is.
I thought he was with Geek and Sundry doing their tabletop.
Geek and Sundry was bought.
No, I know, but he was doing tabletop for them still, even after they got bought.
Yeah, I think he just kind of floats around. He's just like
contract.
He also did. He also did the Guild with Felicia Day.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was great. What about you guys? Anything in this week pop up to you?
Preacher
coming up.
Oh,
to
wait.
The...
Yeah. Well, before we get on that, we should talk about Axanar.
Oh yeah, Axanar. You posted about that.
Huh?
Oh yeah, so lawsuit against Axanar dropped, right?
Well, J.J. Abrams and Justin Lin, because they came out and said that, oh, this is bullshit that Paramount and CBS want to sue the fans for putting out this fucking awesome fan film. Now, apparently, Paramount's, according to J.J. Abrams, Paramount wants to drop the lawsuit. So we win.
I think it'd be a bad PR move on their part to bring a lawsuit against Star Trek fans right when they're rolling out the new Star Trek film series.
Right. On top of that, CBS, I think they're still going forward with like, we're going to continue our lawsuit that Klingon is a copyrightable property as opposed to a living language, which is uncopyrightable.
Well, I mean, then why don't you just go copyright freaking Elvish and Sindarin
exactly.
and all
can't.
That?
And they've tried. Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
I actually took
Paramount.
A class on Klingon at State.
Oh, that's awesome.
We have.
Yeah, it's
Klingon class.
Yeah, it's not just Klingon.
Is it class with a K?
Fictional language.
Yeah, it's fictional languages. So you learned you couldn't learn the entirety of one language because it would have just taken way too fucking long.
Yeah.
But you covered shit like Dothraki, Elvish. And whatever it was that he could fit into one semester, the language in Doctor Who, Time Lord language was covered as well. I ended up learning.
Do they have a language?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's mostly like Greek symbols.
Well,
Written language.
The circles.
You mean?
Yeah, the written language.
Okay, because High Gallifreyan is mostly just
also
like
Vulcan.
Greeks.
I ended up learning to speak rudimentary, basic Klingon.
Awesome.
I don't remember any of it now, though. But there is still, there used to be a postal course where they would send you homework and you would send it back. And then after however many weeks, you would be a fluent Klingon speaker.
And they publish books in Klingon, too. They have all Shakespeare things translated into Klingon, too.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to lose
case. Klingons are big on Shakespeare.
Oh, that's
really?
Right.
Yeah, Klingons love Shakespeare.
Yeah, look, think about
very
how
dramatic,
violent
very
it is.
Warlike.
Yeah.
Practically all of Star Trek VI Undiscovered Country is
oh, that's true.
Been cloying Shakespeare back and forth to each other.
So all hardcore OG Star Trek fans are for Axanar? Is that kind of the...
Well, I think you would be for it too, because going back to your earlier point of how can they make it fun? And your point, how do they find more interesting stories to tell during that time period without just rehashing the same old shit from the original series?
Right.
The fans are proving they can do that.
Yeah, and you know what they can do if Paramount was smart? Be like, okay, hey, that's great. We got fan created content. Give us a slice.
That would make sense to me.
Turn a potential PR debacle into a revenue stream.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they own the rights.
Yeah,
and you get more money.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, also at the same time, shouldn't the fans be also somewhat grateful for JJ and Justin Lin for taking up their cause too?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, I'm totally grateful. That's great.
We're not talking about them. We're talking about.
But I mean,
Paramount.
By supporting their work, though,
right?
I mean, not shitting on their work, then.
How do you mean?
Oh, so not saying, oh, thanks for helping us out by supporting us about Axanar, but then shit on
Star Trek sucks. Fast and Furious, Star Trek. This is bullshit. Blah blah blah. All that stuff that goes around. Or JJ ruined Star Trek, and
I don't know. I have no idea what they say because I don't really care.
I can assume that that's what they say because the internet.
Well,
yeah.
She's a fickle beast.
She is the most fickle of mistresses.
When you give people the ability to be anonymous, they're going to say whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, no, they turn into little fucking monsters.
Yeah, as soon as it enters their heads because, there's no fucking
no filter, no decorum,
yep.
nothing.
Yep.
What's someone going
to
do?
You know, there's no consequence to what you say. because if you're totally anonymous,
unless you're that girl who was really dumb on Facebook and she was 17 and she said someone should assassinate President Obama.
Oh, and they showed up at her house or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
The case got investigated by Secret Service and shit.
Yeah,
I don't think they obviously I don't think they perceived it as a real threat, but it was just like,
oh, by the way, don't fucking we're still the government. And we can fuck you.
By the way, I'm going to take this on a little sidetrack here for a second.
Okay.
This shit really pisses me off. I fucking hate.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah, exactly. I cannot stand these fucking people who just go and anonymously blow up on, say public figures / celebrities or directors or anything, with the idea that they can't do anything because there's going to be consequences to them reacting to it, but not to you saying it. Mm. I fucking cannot stand that.
And you know, it's not like these people are fucking artistic geniuses.
No, they're fucking losers.
Yeah, if they had $150 million, they'd be able to make a coherent movie.
That's why I never, like, no matter how bad a film is, like, I never hate, I never act, like, when I say, I don't do any negative, like, posting or anything online that's very bad. I try to be constructively criticism, right? Constructively, I don't never hate without a reason, and I always try to give reasons for it. But if several hundred people are willing to get together to make a film and to try to be creative and to try to do something with an honest, you know, sincere effort to make something, even if it doesn't agree with me, I still give them credit for that.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Patton Oswalt says, nobody ever sets out to make a bad movie,
right? Yeah.
So I'm in the same boat as you. Like,
deathbed, bed that eats.
Unless there's something like incredibly egregious, like, I don't know, like a laser-eyed Hitler going around eating Jews.
Oh, or
like
that sounds fucking amazing.
I take it back. We have a winner.
That sounds
hello,
like
Hollywood.
That sounds like a Wolfenstein 3D boss.
Or like the Force of Execution trilogy. Wait. Starring Steven Seagal.
Oh my god.
Okay, you guys need to check out A Talking Cat.
What is that?
You mean the upcoming film with Kevin Spacey?
No. It's
Are we talking about Garfield?
No, it's literally like a live-action movie and made by a bunch of people who clearly didn't give a shit on a low budget. Like, and it's easy to shit on that movie because it's very clear that they didn't care.
Right.
Mm.
Like, it seemed like there was a Ponzi scheme that happened, and then they went, oh shit, we have to give our investors something.
I see.
So this is something.
Yeah, so this is something.
This is the thing.
Like, there's at one point they want to have, like, the cat go over to this pair of shoes, and they just use a laser pointer, and they don't edit it out in post.
Right.
Like, that kind of shit.
See, like,
JonTron reviewed it. Go check it out. You'll see what I mean.
Anyways, and rant about it. But I cannot stand the ranting and the shittiness of the general shittiness of the internet.
Well, I just don't like putting super hateful or negative stuff out there, because that's what you're going to get back too.
Here's the thing, is that I don't feel like I treat the internet as a forum in real life. So if I'm saying something, like anything I say on this podcast, I would be willing to say to someone's face.
Oh yeah, for
like,
sure.
No doubt.
Like, I don't have a problem with that. The problem becomes when you are the person who wouldn't say it to their face and you say it anonymously on the internet, or you say it with the backing of the internet. I saw a video recently of, it was like a UFC fighter. Someone went up and asked him to sign a picture because he was doing a signing.
Yeah.
And he was... And they handed him a picture of him, like, knocked out, crumpled against the side of the cage, just, like, beaten down and bloody.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, sign this. And they started filming him to try to get a reaction out of him. Where it's like, you know that if he weren't on film, you would never have the balls to fucking do that. Because he would beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like that kind of, like, goading or, like, that like, oh, I'm safe because I'm behind, because I have somebody watching me or because I'm anonymous. Like, that's bullshit. I fucking cannot stand that. It's the worst fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
So, start a pause.
I will make a devil's advocate argument that at least they were showing their face.
Only because they were on tape.
And I won't disagree that that is just absolutely deplorable, and I would not be surprised if he would, like, I would not be shocked or I would not disagree if he just punched the shit out of them.
This is like an 18 or 16-year-old, 18-year-old kid. Like,
but fucking of course it was.
Because of the internet culture that we're raising our kids to live in. It's like we're teaching them it's okay to be little shits to people and have absolutely, you know, if you want to be an asshole, it's okay because you know what? Other people are going to find it funny once you post it on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah, see, and this is
we're
why,
rewarding that behavior.
Yeah. Well, and this is why eventually I'm going to move to the mountains and like I'm going to live off the land. I'm going to
retire from media.
No, oh, dude, I cannot wait to get out of it and just like buy a farm somewhere. It's going to be amazing. It'll be the best.
So speaking of media, you got stoked about Preacher.
Oh my God, the Preacher!
And you told me an interesting tidbit the other day that this is the one that the Preacher was restored your faith in comics.
Oh yeah, Preacher is. I was a comic book fan since a kid, since I was a wee lad, as
yeah.
they say,
a wee lad,
and I fell out of it. You know, at middle school, high school, you kind of fall out of it because social stigma.
Yeah.
And eventually I got back into
it. Not
today,
of course.
Not anymore.
No.
But
today the nerd has inherited the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was born, you know, 15 years too early. That's yeah. fine. but what ended up being really cool was that I wandered into a comic book store one day and the guy behind the counter apparently wasn't doing much and was just like, hey, what are you doing or what are you looking for? I was like, I don't really know. And he's like, well, check this shit out. And he hands me the original Preacher.
Mm-hmm.
The original graphic novel of The Preacher. And he's like...
Volume 1 or like issue 1?
Volume 1. Volume
okay.
One.
Yeah,
I have original issues of it too. But I started with the graphic novels. And he's just like, check this out. It's really fucking fucked up. But I
yeah.
think you'll like it because I was describing the type of shit that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it and it fucking was like, holy shit. This is where we are now in comic books. Like, this is what we're doing with this shit. Like,
oh, okay.
Oh. And it brought me back in, like, in a big
way. So it just
kind
of redefined the parameters of what comics could be for you.
Right,
and
because
then...
before that, it was 90s X-Men. It was
yeah.
Image. It
yeah.
was flashy and big and lots of guns and, like, 75 teeth in a mouth. And who cares,
yeah.
you know? Like, people in impossible poses jumping through the air. Like, you know, stuff like that. Now it's like... oh, this is just a dude, and he's gonna, like, go and do fucked up shit to fucked up people. Like, this is awesome.
I actually had a similar experience with the exact same comic, but back when Borders was still around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
I was, like, right before middle school, so I was probably, like, 10 years old.
Yeah. Mm.
And I found the graphic novels section because I was looking for manga.
At 10, uh-huh. you were reading Preacher?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Nice.
Holy shit.
And I was like... and I found this. I found it on the shelf, and I was like, "What's this, Preacher?" And then, like, I was like, started perusing. I was like, "Holy fuck!" And I remember the feeling of once I started like reading it. I was like, I started looking around.
Yeah.
I started looking around because I thought I had found something I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
Like I was
like, you were finding porn.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I was like, I was like really embarrassed for people to see me reading this
because
I was like, oh, this is like really fucking dark and heavy and shit. I'm like, I
but
don't know.
Awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah. And I was like, I was really worried that someone was going to be like, no, you can't have that. I was worried.
That
I was
scared away.
Someone's
away.
Was going to just snatch it from me. I was like, but that I had almost a very similar experience.
And then you bought your hentai instead that you were there
and then
for.
You
and then I went,
then
went
and bought the actual
Ron
porn.
One half and went home and masturbated in a closet.
So the
I actually feel like that's a true story.
you know, standard 10-year-old stuff.
Would you like to know more?
Would you like to know more?
Like,
I would.
So,
Preacher was a very defining book for me in a lot of ways.
Are you looking forward to this show that's premiering
I am.
Tonight?
I
so
am.
Tonight's the premiere. I'm looking forward. Also, hopefully, you'll write a review for the site.
Yeah, I'll knock one out.
Because I'm not familiar with Preacher. I haven't read the novels.
Okay.
I haven't done anything with that series.
Here's the thing that I'm really excited for is that people are going to be brought into that world. Whether they get it right or not is
yeah.
not that important to me. It's more that they get the general feel of the world right. Because the people that are interested and really captured by the idea of it will go find the graphic novels. And they
That's
will,
true.
You know, they'll get it. And the people who aren't that interested in this the medium of comics will just watch something that has some of the similar ideas at the minimum.
Yeah.
And will hopefully enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
Like, my lady, she's not a comic book person by any means, but,
mm-hmm.
like, she's going to watch Preacher with me because she knows I love it. And whether they get it 50% right, 100% right, 25% right,
yeah,
she's going to get the general idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And hopefully enjoy it. And then that's, like, a common language we can then have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I'm just excited that this thing exists because this is such a fucked up property. I have no idea how they're gonna make
I'm
it exist.
I'm super stoked. I'm
so ambitious.
I'm gonna watch it too, and I'm super stoked.
I mean,
I'm gonna jump into that.
The
comic
weird part
series.
Is that like the production value of it really doesn't cost that much because
really
well.
Guess you're kind of
because
right.
Okay, the just anybody who doesn't know, the general idea of Preacher is that I guess the premiere is already over, so we can spoil it, but the general idea is that this dude gains the power of God, which is essentially that he can just say anything and you have to fucking do it. So okay. He kind of like Purple Man and Jessica Jones.
Okay, gotcha.
So he
right.
will say,
but
like,
he can like to the extreme, he can like speak people out of existence or something, right?
No, not to that degree. He can
it's just like mind control.
Yeah, kind of like just super heavy duty mind control.
Okay,
like
I see.
I don't. There's certain spoilers that I don't want to give away, but like he could do really fucked up shit to you that you just have to continue to do.
Okay,
and it's just kind of forever that you have to do this thing. And so the idea of it is that he finds out that he has acquired this power essentially because God has run away. He's a Texas preacher,
okay,
who's lost his faith, acquires this power. And then through angels finds out that God has run away. And
shit.
He's like, you know what? That's fucked up. You ran away from your responsibility. And I'm a good old Texas boy, and I'm going to track you down.
Oh,
and
nice.
he sets off to find God.
Shit.
So it's about... It's
that's a fucking awesome premise.
He meets up with his ex-girlfriend, who is somehow in between the time of them dating and meeting her again. She's like a hitman. And
wow.
he meets his new best friend... who he meets in a bar, gets into a bar fight with, and discovers his best friend is a vampire.
Holy shit.
And then the three of them adventure out looking for God. And it's a fucking awesome story.
That is super cool.
It's a quintessential American story. It's a Western.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Because it's the three, the posse going.
The three amigos
heading
out.
The three amigos looking for the villain.
So does God, does God know? So do you ever get to like. Okay.
We get there.
We get there. So you know what? I'm not even gonna ask you questions. I want to be.
It's great. I mean, it's like it travels through time. Where like because the buddy the vampire buddy has lived in America and loves America. So it's like also a very American story.
So doing...
And the main character is a Texas kind of cowboy who idolizes John Wayne.
Oh, nice.
And so like it's a cowboy story, mm-hmm. and it's all the girlfriend is like very empowered, strong woman. It's a great
and it's very
story.
American.
It's like American
Christianity.
It's not even pro Christian or any, I mean, obviously like you can tell by the content. It's not pro Christian by any means. But
the Christianity portrayed is very American. Is that
yes? It's a very American modern take on like you know Christianity and faith, spirituality. It's a great fucking. It's a series of awesome stories, and it's so good. I cannot rain the praise of it high enough. Also, the writer of it of the comic book did probably the definitive run on The Punisher.
Oh shit!
Yeah, Garth Ennis. Just
okay.
Fucking,
oh wow!
I'm in.
It's the humanized version of The Punisher, where he's not just like this ridiculous killing machine. Where he has a voice of like why he does this.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Like the version of The Punisher that we see in the Daredevil show is lifted directly from the Garth Ennis Punisher, like that heart.
Okay. I was gonna say we got that season two from him.
Yeah, it's 100% awesome. Garth Ennis's Punisher in that.
Oh my god, so, I'm stoked now.
So it's that kind of darkness, but brought to like these very Western American things. And he's an Irishman.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, and he's an Irishman who's doing a very American tale, which is it's an interesting perspective. And he's got a fucked up imagination to begin with. So it's amazing and great.
Yeah,
so,
I was sold as soon as I saw the trailer.
Oh, I haven't watched anything about
you
it.
You haven't? Oh no. My god, the trailer was fucking
trailer's
amazing.
Good.
I mean, I watched like a little 30-second teaser of it that uh-huh. Manny sent me. So.
I think that's what I saw. There's an actual longer trailer out there.
There's a longer trailer.
Oh, okay.
I believe so.
But like I
guess we'll know soon.
Yeah, I'm ready to watch this shit. Like, just ready to skeet, skeet, skeet.
Skeet, skeet.
Long tantric tugs. Like, it's going to be amazing.
We should probably touch on the
we
fact.
We should probably touch
we
on
should touch upon your long tantric touching.
Yeah.
Teasing.
Tugging.
Tugging.
Touch up on the teasing.
Long tantric tug. Long tantric tug. Long tantric tug.
That's a tongue twister for the tantric tug. we should probably tug on your that thread of how you being so passionate about it, and that it has a very, very loyal cult following. And the reason that we were able to get this brought to AMC is because of Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And his writing partner. God. So two comedians were
Seth
just like...
and Evan Goldberg?
I can't remember.
Goldberg, yeah.
Yeah. Two Jews.
And it's...
Yep.
Why not? They
you
are.
Know what? They recognize talent. They recognize a good... And you know, there's been a number of attempts to get this made. They were going to do it as an HBO series at one point.
Well, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
During the 90s.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, and, I want to... I don't know for sure. I know that Kevin...
I remember something. They wanted to do something during the 90s. That got shelved. Right. They wanted to do it
again. No, they
again.
Wanted to do a movie.
A movie in the 90s. I think that's what
it was. But they couldn't pull it off in a movie because it's too
big. I don't think the world was ready for it either.
The world wasn't ready for it.
Hyper-violent.
The story is just too big. It's just too big of a story. But I want to say at one point Kevin Smith might have been involved. I know he wrote the intro to one of the Preacher graphic novels. He's written an intro for it.
Kevin Smith. Can I just say Kevin Smith? Like, I've always loved Kevin Smith, but... He got me again. He recently directed an episode of The Flash, the Mother's Day episode of The Flash.
Yeah. I've heard it was good.
And it really got me. It got me so good, you guys. I'm going to do a write-up of the season finales of
How do we feel about Kevin Smith in general? Like, as a director. Not as a writer. As a director.
As a director?
Not so strong, but...
I like Dogma and Clerks.
For the writing or for the direction, though?
I think he's really a strong,
he's
like
an amazing,
strong,
really good
writer.
He's a fucking fantastic writer.
He's a great storyteller.
Not a good visual storyteller. Like I feel like he's better at writing.
Yeah. I don't know what necessarily makes a great visual director. I don't know what makes a bad visual director. I know what makes a great visual director, because you see it in certain directors that have a strong vision and they create that vision. But like there's that, and then there's kind of everybody else to me. So like if you're bad to medium to good-ish, like that's all the same
thing. He said himself that he's not a very good director.
Director
in general. What he felt like he did is he knows how to like get people in the same room and talking in a way that is believable to you. And I think that's the best thing that he was. And it was funny.
He
tells
like
a story.
The most gregarious dude in the world.
Oh, fuck he's a hard-working That's guy. Why he's played Silent Bob.
Yeah, right.
I sat on a poker table with him for 3 hours or so a couple years back.
He was probably talking the whole time.
No. He's not that guy at all.
Really?
He is Silent Bob.
If you get him outside of like a stage, he's very like kind of aloof and quiet. If you talk to him, he'll talk to you. He's not a dick he's not a dick by any means. Very friendly, but just not the person who's like going out of his way to make a spectacle of himself at all.
See,
interesting.
I ran into him at Comic-Con because, well, I was really tired and like I fucking kept getting turned around wanting to go to a specific event. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll just duck into this hotel in here. I'm really sick and tired of everything being blocked off and being stuck outside. And I accidentally wandered into like the talent area.
Oh, nice.
And
that's
it wasn't
awesome.
Blocked off at all. And I was like, oh, shit, these are dancers and they're changing or whatever. I better get out of here before some. And then Kevin Smith just walks down the hall and I'm like, oh, I am so fucked. And he didn't really care. he was like just on his BlackBerry or whatever. And I wanted to
how
say,
long ago was this that he was rocking a BlackBerry?
Like a couple years
more
ago.
Than 5 years.
I don't
2003.
Know. He was like it was sideways and he was typing, so it looked very much like
he had
a BlackBerry
kick.
To me.
The T-Mobile Sidekick. Remember those things?
Yeah,
Snoop Dogg.
I do.
Snoop Dogg used to shill for him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, like I fucking love him, but I didn't say anything. I just kind of regret it. But like,
I feel like he's a dude who, if you did just run up to him, super excited, he would love it. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would ever shun a fan.
He's not the holier than thou type because he's been a fanboy his whole life.
One of us. One of us.
No, this is why. Because when I saw him, his like personal assistant or something was just screaming demands at him.
Oh,
and
really?
He's like trying to email or something at the same time as well.
Wow.
So I just hear, we have to get you over to here. We have no time to lose. We have to get you there in 30 minutes, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this is probably not a good time to say
Hi, I'm a big fan. Shut the fuck up!
Don't you see this crazy fucking bitch is just breathing down my neck?
But see, here's the thing is like, I feel like Kevin Smith is the dude who would stop and like at least say hi, try to give you like that second of like, hey, listen, I appreciate you as a fan of mine, and like, thank you. Like,
he seems like a pretty kind of guy.
Like, just a good dude.
He doesn't strike me as like the showboater. Although, you know what's funny, in the Flash episode that they had, he did have Jason Mewes, a.k.a. Jay.
Was Mewes in that?
Yeah, Mewes was in the Flash episode.
Wait, where do they film? Because I...
I think Canada.
Really? Because I heard he wasn't allowed to leave the state or something?
Why?
Must be. That's rumor. That must be a rumor then.
Is it? Okay.
Kevin Smith couldn't leave the
state? No, not Kevin Smith. Mewes. Jason Mewes.
Oh.
He leaves the state all the time because they do like the traveling podcast thing.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
He's not usually on it.
No, he is. Because they do a...
I know he does like 10 different podcasts.
No. Jason Mewes does one with Kevin Smith.
And they travel around.
Yeah. Huh. It's called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. And it's kind of like a traveling sobriety meeting for Mewes, where like because Mewes is sober, and like every time he checks in at every show, I've been sober for this many days, and they just tell stories and like play games.
That's really cool.
That's super cool.
Like, Kevin Smith is a very uplifting. He is like the type of nerd, fanboy, whatever you want to call it, that everybody should kind of strive to be, because he's just positive, enjoys everything, like
and works really hard to improve the nerddom as a whole,
and community as a whole
to improve it for everybody.
Like, good fucking dude.
Yeah,
it's interesting that you say like he writes realistically, like how people would have an actual conversation,
except he writes in like 10-minute monologues.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, because like I remember, like I wrote my first kind of like short script, and I let my boyfriend read it, and he was like, no one fucking talks like this. Why is your writing like Kevin Smith? No one knows about the Bobo doll experiment. That's not a psych major.
In certain circles, though.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on
the echo chamber that you live in.
Yeah, I was like, maybe if you hang out with uncultured swine, then no, they wouldn't know what that is.
Flash is CW. CW picked up Supergirl. CBS dropped it.
So now it's all going to be in one space.
So CW is now...
And they still haven't picked up Constantine. I'm just throwing that out
so
there.
So CW is now basically like DC home for 4 DC shows.
Except for Constantine. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Constantine made it really sad.
How was Legends of Tomorrow? We haven't had an update.
Oh, yeah. Legends of Tomorrow started off a little shaky, but got really good towards the end.
Okay.
And
kind of like Constantine, I'm just throwing that out.
And it has been renewed. They really like. I was kind of worried about how they were going to deal with all this these different people, like have it fall into
the ensemble
syndrome. But because it's extended and it's a show and it can go on, they can take the time to focus in on some characters, not others, instead of having to shoehorn everything in at the same time.
How is Ralph in it?
He's really good. Actually, he got some dimension. Like, you thought he was going to be like the goody two shoes and everything. But he really had to make some tough calls. You know who really did good was Leonard Snart, Captain Cold.
Oh,
and
okay.
Quick aside, how's that going to work with Prison Break coming back?
He'll just have to devise time. Actually,
Prison Break's coming back.
Yes, it is.
I did not.
Well, that's a good point, because spoilers for the season finale. Snart didn't make it.
Oh,
so they might permakill him.
Wow.
Then I haven't seen anything yet.
Prison Break apparently is that good.
But also,
Prison Break's paying that much more.
What is it? Maybe he'll bring the cold gun with him to prison.
That's one of the coolest props I've seen, though.
It was pretty cool. His partner, not Firestorm. The other guy. What is his name? I can't remember.
Don't watch the show.
He's played by that big hulky dude that was the Dracula dude from Blade 3.
From Blade 3?
Yeah.
That's amazing that's the movie that you pull this actor's resume out of.
That's one of the first times I ever saw him. He's kind of a big deal now. I don't know why.
Jason Momoa.
No, I wish.
Aquaman?
No, not Aquaman.
All right, let me see if I can look it up.
Anyway, his character really got well fleshed out, and I thought he was going to be the weak link and kind of the lamest, but he actually did really well.
Okay.
Firestorm developed.
I've heard I should watch Flash.
Flash is good.
Without like, I don't need to watch Arrow. I don't need to.
No, you don't need to.
Does it help to watch Arrow, or is it?
Yeah, I you know what? I don't watch Arrow as religiously as I do Flash.
Okay,
and I'm fine.
Right. Is what makes Flash good?
What? Because like everyone is up Flash's ass.
It's not trying to be dark and gritty and like hard.
It's just fun.
It's just fun, and it has good emotional points, but doesn't get weighed down by them.
Okay.
So it has a really nice balance. The cast gets along really well. Special effects are top notch. And it's really cool. Like it knows what it wants to be.
Kind of cotton candy. Fun.
Will Robbie Amell?
No, what? That's not Firestorm. If you go to the cast list, maybe it'll be there.
Who are you? Which character does he play?
That's not. I can't remember. It's like he's another. He has the fire gun.
Fire gun.
He has a fire gun. If you just go to the cast list and I'll scroll through it, I'll find.
And did him and Captain Cold not get along?
No.
Were they best buds?
No, they were like love hate relationship. That was very good, well done, because they would. That developed very well. That was the best dynamic. Actually, honestly, the worst character, the one I disliked the most, is the leader, Rip Hunter.
What?
Yeah, the Time Lord guy. At least the Time Master, technically.
What?
He
Arthur Darvill.
He just didn't really do it that much for me. I thought that Leonard Snart, Captain Cold, and the fire guy were a good duo. Hawk Girl. Let's see here. Brandon Routh, Arthur Darvill.
I got to show love to
Dominic
Arthur
Purcell, Heatwave. Dominic Purcell? Heatwave. Anyway.
I got to show love for Arthur Darvill, though, because like he's great. He was in the musical on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he was great at it. He's a really great singer, and I still love him as Rory.
He's still good. He doesn't do a bad job, but like his character arc. Like, he acted well, just his character arc wasn't that interesting to me, because it was very kind
of
prosaic.
Whatever, I'll stick up for
my boy.
So
I should watch Flash?
Flash is good. DC, The Legend of Tomorrow is good, too. White Canary was kind of so-so. I think the most interesting was...
Why gotta be White Canary?
Because she was Black Canary, but she got reincarnated.
Why she gotta come back white?
I know. Why you gotta die black and come back white?
Why can't it be Gandalf the Black? Why do you have to come back white?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he was great before. It could have gone either way.
Why can't it be White Panther?
Yeah,
I know.
Why ain't it White Panther? Can you imagine that version of that movie where like he's the White Panther?
How weird would that costume look?
I'm the Prince of Wakanda.
With like little gold accents on it, with like
it gets dirty like every 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's all the blood from everybody he's killing is just all over on it. It just looks like a leopard.
He just looks like Daredevil. People just mistake him for Daredevil.
Out of curiosity, did you guys see that picture I posted of a Wakandan prince needing your help?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, no, that was good. That was good.
On Facebook.com/nerdfunnel.
Both, nice plug. Both are worthy of watching, but I think Flash more so than DC.
Could I get the lady to watch Flash with me?
I think so. I think it'd be doable. I think you can get her in for an episode.
Okay.
But yeah, so now DC's the home of all the CW's the home of all the DC stuff.
Yeah, it seems like it.
But not Constantine.
But not yet. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get him to guest star on an episode of Legends of Tomorrow. Oh.
He already guest starred on Arrow.
On Arrow. He was on Arrow. Maybe they'll get him back if there's enough fan love. So the big pull for Legends of Tomorrow on the finale was Hourman. I don't know if you guys Hourman.
Hourman
is Justice Society of America. This is
JSA.
Yeah. This is Golden Age.
Oh, wow.
Superhero coming at you here.
Okay.
They've been pulling a lot from the writing from Golden Age because Jay Garrick, who is the Golden Age Flash, is on Flash.
I do know this. I was excited because he's going to have the fruit bowl.
Yeah. The fruit bowl.
He's the dude who wears a fruit bowl on his head.
The fruit bowl is actually a huge part of the.
No way.
Yeah. The fruit bowl plays a big part.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So they pulled Hourman. Hourman is a dude who, for various incarnations of his series, there's three different Hourmans that have been in throughout the history of DC Universe, who for 1 hour a day, sometimes it's a day, sometimes in certain comic book series, he has an hour, and then he has to wait an hour to recharge his little magic hourglass or whatever it is. But he basically can become a god for an hour.
Ooh.
He's basically, he can turn back time, he can forward time, he can freeze time, he can move through time, he can switch people's timelines, he can have super strength, super speed, all this stuff for 1 hour, but then he loses it.
Oh.
And he has to recharge it. So
So for 1 hour he can be Superman?
Basically, with time travel powers.
So Superman?
Yeah.
You can turn the planet backwards?
Well, he just goes
or
back.
Or can give you amnesia by kissing you?
So...
So he does that, Bobby.
Yeah, what? That was Superman 2. Let's not talk about that.
He kisses Lois Lane and she forgets.
Yeah,
oh my forgets God. Him. Wait, do you... Okay, well, this is a super old Golden Age comic, but were you aware that he can make you black?
What?
Okay,
Bobby?
I will have to consult the literature on this one.
Okay, so...
Is this along the lines of the Joker not liking Hostess pies?
Almost. It's like...
Wait, what is that?
You were on the cast.
You were there.
Fong was telling us about how the Joker got captured, and then all of the cops were going to go eat Hostess pies, and the Joker didn't want to eat the Hostess pie, and that's why he was crazy, because he didn't want the Hostess pie.
And they just completely glazed over how he tried to poison the Gotham water supply.
Man.
So how does Superman turn people black?
Okay.
Not that that's a bad thing. I just wanted to make that absolutely clear.
I know. In our very PC culture, right. Make sure you cover the Nerd
but
Funnel.
But back in the in the Golden Age, that might have been
yes, okay.
On unfavorably.
So this is literally is what...
I can't believe I'm about to make this joke. Okay. But is that the equivalent of Batman branding dudes to be killed? Is that how Superman does it in the 50s? He turns you black?
Oh my God. There.
That's not...
We might have to cut that one out.
That's not what it is.
No. Okay. So just, yeah, please explain, Fong.
Okay, so this is how the comic starts, is Lois Lane just, by the way, she knows that Clark Kent is Superman now, so she just walks in Daily Planet, no one else is there, it's just them in the office, and she goes, I need an award-winning story. Like, I really just need some, like Pulitzer Prize-winning material, and she kind of is like, I wish I could be black so I could know what it's like.
No!
So she... What?
Yeah, because
so she basically becomes black like me / the color purple?
Yeah, and then Superman... Oh, by the way, it should be prefaced that before that, she was walking through a predominantly black neighborhood, and people were, like, giving her shit for being white, and, oh, it's so tragic, and so on and so forth. And then Superman is like, oh, did you know I can fuck with your DNA? Did you know that I can make you black? It's cool.
So he's like punch.
Wait,
her
wait,
or
wait, wait. So how did it actually become possible? How did he actually
remember.
Do it?
I don't remember.
I imagine.
And you're for sure this is actually
this is a real thing.
This happened. Okay.
I read about it on Cracked, and I was like, is this real? And I went back to that's a real thing. I checked.
We're gonna get so many fact checkers.
I'm gonna have to check this. Like this is gonna,
like okay, this, and then she and it's so bad because like she has like. This huge afro, and then she's wearing a dashiki. Why is she wearing a dashiki? Wow.
This is the 50s.
You know what? I've seen a picture of that Lois Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was Lois Lane until,
yeah,
like,
it's
you just
Lois Lane.
No, 70s, I think I have.
Right?
It might have been 70s. I'm not sure.
Late 60s?
I'm going to say,
like 60s, 70s.
Comics have not always been very racially sensitive because, like, there's a story arc in Punisher.
Yeah.
Where Punisher wears blackface. For, like, really? An entire story arc.
Wow.
Blackface has made multiple appearances in comics. I've seen it, yeah.
He, essentially, it's that he goes into hiding, and he is hanging out with Luke Cage. And Luke Cage injects him with something, or he injects himself with something, however, that turns him into a black man.
Oh, okay. Man.
So he can hide with Luke Cage and the homies, is essentially what happens.
Please tell me that was the actual vernacular. Luke Cage and the homies.
It's not, but I feel like we just sold a new comic.
We just sold another secondary line.
We just wrote season two of the Luke Cage Netflix.
Also, Industrial Revolution. Tony Stark wears blackface so that he can like get away from S.H.I.E.L.D. Or not
really?
From S.H.I.E.L.D. Just who is it that he's
Hydra?
Hydra.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so he's doing that. And they tried to do that with Iron Man 3, but they made the smart choice of, like, giving him all the same clothes, just not putting him in, putting Robert Downey Jr. in blackface. A wise decision.
That's reserved for Tropic Thunder.
Oh, that's right, yes.
If it's old hat by that.
He's already done it.
He already did it. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's... It was
a different time.
Yeah, it was a different time. But, like, the Punisher doing blackface in the 90s was weird. Like, Black Punisher is a weird story arc.
Okay.
I remember even as a kid reading that and being like, this is strange. I don't know how I feel about this.
Wow.
So, yep, Black Lois Lane, look it up.
So Fong, what's new this week for you? What's exciting?
I don't know. I mean, I've just been doing data entry and shit. I haven't really looked at the internet. The last story I saw was that Bill Cosby has another.
He can make people black too.
As another,
as long as you eat the Jell-O.
As another woman saying that she was raped by him.
Well, that's not very uplifting and
or
nerdy.
I'm sorry, that was the last thing I read. It's
like a buzzkill.
I remember.
The most nerdy thing I've done this week is I have been plowing through Uncharted 4.
Oh yeah?
Wait, sorry, plowing. I heard something.
Yeah.
Oh, how's Uncharted 4?
It's so fucking good.
Yeah?
It's so fucking good. I mean, I am a big fan of the Uncharted series. Mm-hmm. Anyways, because it's just pure cotton candy fun.
Is it really well written? Is it more movie or more game?
Game.
More movie.
I always feel like
it's a lot more like.
No, there's a lot of movie,
heavy.
A lot of dialogue, and all that. But like, it's not like you're a passive onlooker. Right. You're not. It's not Heavy Rain. It's not. You know,
it's not. Go ahead, say it.
It's not Metal Gear Solid. You know. It's.
Oh. Oh my god, I totally remembered stuff I read this week.
No.
Oh, there's a couple things. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Uncharted 4, it's a great game. Go play it. It's really good. It's a good way to, if this is where they kind of end the series or lead the series, I'm okay with it. The voice acting is awesome. There are moments in it that feel so real. It's disgusting. Like, there are moments between Nathan Drake, who's the main character, and his wife, Elena, who you find out. They've gotten married between games, and they've lived a comfortable, normal life.
Aww.
And there are moments of just, like, domestic kind of life, where it's, like, them hanging out on the couch, and them, like, you know, playfully talking.
Oh, it's the superhero movie you wanted.
It is. It is the exact superhero movie that I've always wanted.
It's a little bit of action, a little bit of, like, honey, what's for dinner?
Right, exactly. It's the practicality of just life. Mm. And it's so fucking good. And the voice acting is, like, I was sitting there watching this game, and I'm playing late at night because I'm playing after the lady goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And she wanders down for water. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's because I'm sitting there watching these scenes of domestic bliss, and I'm just sitting there like this. Wide-eyed, like. And she's like, you're fucking.
Biting your knuckles.
Yeah, biting my knuckles because I'm so happy that this is a thing that I'm watching. And she's just like, I'm glad you're having fun. And I'm like, do you want to sit with me? And she's like, no. I'm glad you're having fun. I'm back up to the room. So
she's happy you're watching these scenes of domestic bliss.
You're happy. Aww. I'm happy you're happy while I sit. I'm happy you're happy watching a couple on your pretend video game while I sit in a room alone by myself.
Oh, that's awesome. So Uncharted 4, check it out. It looks really good. I've seen a lot of positive reviews on it.
And it's just fun. It's a fun fucking game. And the writing's great. Everything is good about it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful fucking game.
I've heard mixed reviews on it, but that is because a friend of mine is... Because
people don't like fun.
Well, that's because a friend of mine is friends with some of the guys from Mega 64. And, of course, they're a bit critical about video games because that's their job.
Yeah.
So...
I think... Even if you're critical about it, I'm critical. I'm a critical
Steven
person.
Steven is critical.
If you
that's
don't
true.
Know.
If you haven't noticed
I
that.
Had, oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a critical person. I like fun, though.
Yeah.
I like just things that are enjoyable.
Yeah.
If you don't like this, you are a heartless Nazi robot. Like, you cannot play this game and not just enjoy... that's like watching an Indiana Jones movie. And not just enjoying
feeling
just
some
like
sort of thrill.
Letting it wash over you.
Which is why I love the Uncharted series.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you've enjoyed any of the Uncharted games, this is the best version of any Uncharted game.
Awesome.
Really?
Okay.
Period.
That's high praise.
It's not The Last of Us.
Okay.
It's not The Last of Us. It doesn't reach that bar.
It shouldn't, though, because like
The Last of Us is art.
Yeah.
It's different. It's in a different category. This is entertainment. It's the best kind of entertainment.
Well, it's not only that, it's literally like tonally different than The Last of Us.
Right. And, well, but I'm saying I don't think that Uncharted reaches the heights of
The Last of Us.
It's hard.
It's not striving to.
Yeah. It, well, and it's I think it'd be hard to. I think just this thematically, it's hard to reach those depths when you're not dealing with the same stakes as The Last of Us.
Right. The Last of Us is dealing with, you know, the death of world and the death of children and finding a child and making hard decisions. I mean, Uncharted is about adventure and a guy who can wink and nod while also shooting and killing, like, hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So it's not the same type
of thing.
No,
same.
It's super hot.
Super. Nathan Drake is bae.
Yeah, totally.
Speaking, if it wouldn't be Nerd Final if I didn't bring up the fact that Hideo Kojima released this week pictures of...
What did your dad do, Ivan?
What did Brother Kojima do?
Well, apparently he revealed this knight that looks like
it's
a
his
knight.
His name is Ludens. Ludens is the mascot of the new Kojima Productions.
Oh.
He's a kind of a space knight with a glowing skull on his mask, underneath his mask.
Huh.
And the new game is supposed to be kind of like MGS-ish, big, open, powerful world, though, in space.
I'm going to be the first to say it. Who fucking cares?
Really?
Wow.
You're such a Kojima dick rider.
Like, who the fuck cares? Just make a game.
How can you say that about your cousin?
Well, in order to make
Listen, if anyone can talk about me, it's me. Wait a minute. Yeah.
In order to make games, though, you have to start with character models, and this is a character model. You don't like it? You don't like the character model?
It's uninteresting to me.
MGS is interesting, though?
No. This character.
No. I'm saying, but MGS shouldn't initially be interesting either, though. So what makes this different?
No, just fucking make the game. Stop making, like, oh, it's going to be great because I have this character that looks really cool. I put him on a flag, and now you get to see the whole part of him. He's a knight. He has a blue glowing skull. Good
How
job.
Convoluted do you feel this plot is going to be?
Hideo Kojima. If it wasn't convoluted.
If it wasn't convoluted, I would slit my wrists right now.
By the way, we still have to finish watching Rambo 3 so you can understand.
Damn it. So I can understand that I'm watching Metal Gear Solid 1?
No, Metal Gear Solid 5. Fong, I don't know if you understand this.
Okay.
Rambo 3 is Metal Gear Solid.
Really?
5. Metal Gear Solid 5 is almost like a scene for scene ripoff of Rambo 3.
Oh my god.
Like,
so that's what he looks like.
Who cares?
So he's got like a glowing skull inside his mask.
Right.
That's pretty badass.
Listen, I hate to be like Wyoming, but show me, man. Show me. Don't just like oh, here's a character design. Yeah, a good character design, or in this case, sort of a boring character design, does not a good game make.
And then here, so it's also the mascot for his flag here.
I know.
Kojima Productions.
Yeah, it just looks like another, like, I don't know, some weird-ass Halo character.
Well, but what do you think of it?
I think it's interesting. It looks.
What about the upcoming game, then?
I don't know what it's going to be.
Well,
like,
it depends on how much.
It's going to be like kind of like MGS.
Like, he said it's supposed to be MGS 5-ish, like open, like more open world and set in the far future. That's all I got.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's that. Another piece of technology that was interesting to me this week, or another interesting tech thing that came out this week, is the Google Tilt Brush. Did you guys see this?
Oh, yeah, the VR.
No. The VR paintbrush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see this at all.
This thing makes me want to be, like, maybe want to quit everything I'm doing and just be a graphic designer and just use this, exclusively for the rest of my life.
Okay, this is an amazing technology. I know me. For the first 5 minutes, I'll just be drawing 3D VR dicks.
Yeah, dicks
for, like,
dicks for
5 minutes.
So basically...
Welcome to the internet.
It works with the Oculus, and actually I think it's primed to use with the HTC Vive.
Really?
Which retails for about $800. Hmm. The software itself is downloadable on Steam for like $30, $40.
Hmm. Yeah.
Are we going to put our money together and just buy a Vive or Oculus?
That'd be kind of fun to do sometime.
If any Nerd Funnel listener out there wants to send us a Vive or Oculus,
we need to start a Patreon, and we need to start like being like, if you give us money, you know, this amount.
You know what? I don't even care if they give us money. I do it for love.
Yeah.
I do it for love. A love of our fans. I'm going to say that I'll probably end up buying this pretty soon.
Okay.
Because I'm a degenerate and a sicko.
Yeah.
And I like
and
to buy
frankly,
toys.
There's no better way to experience porn.
No, like
.com.
This tilt brush solidified the fact that I will buy a HTC Vive at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, the first thing I thought of was, like, where can I scrounge up $800 for this thing?
Honestly, I thought it would have been more. It's surprising to me that VR technology is that cheap now.
So, basically, it's an accessory that you can use with the HTC Vive that you can paint in augmented reality using, like, paint, textures, like, any Pantone with any, like, gloss or mattiness or sparkly textures, whatever you want. You can also paint with fire, wind, water, light, all sorts of different things. I'm sure there's a myriad of different things.
Can you paint with heart?
I'm sure you can.
Well, yeah.
The worst of the Captain
you
America
could
powers.
Always yeah. paint heart. With heart. But no one will ever
Captain
see
Planet.
It.
Captain Planet. I got there. I got there.
Until they see the heart of your image.
As long as you're from South
South
America. As long as you're from South America, you can paint with heart.
Okay, what was the cool. name of the monkey in Captain
Oh
Planet?
Shit, what was his name?
Chim Chim was the monkey in Speed Racer.
Okay. Oh,
you're right.
Wait, what was the name of the monkey in Johnny Quest?
How many fucking sidekick monkeys are there?
Too many sidekick monkeys.
No, there was the dog was Bandit.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? I used to know this really well.
Oh, Bandit and Chim Chim. You're right, you're right. Yeah. Hey, Chim Chim!
Bandit is a great name for a child, by the way.
So, so with this brush, what you can do is you can...
sign up on our Patreon. I will name my child Bandit if you donate X amount of dollars.
So,
2,000?
No, it's got to be more than that.
5,000?
For 5K, I would name my kid Wiley.
You're a heartless whore.
Like, Wile E? Middle, like, Wile.
W-I-L-E-Y.
Wile E. Like Wile, W-I-L, and middle initial E.
No, so let me finish on the tilt brush. So what you can do with this thing is you can sculpt in 3D, paint in 3D. And then what the awesomest thing is you can do is you can export your model, whatever you paint. You can take that rendering in three dimensions and put it into Maya, InDesign.
Oh, that's cool.
Or like 3D printing programs so that you can actually print out what you model in three dimensions.
Okay, because I remember thinking, like, what fuck? This is really cool, but what fucking practical use does it have?
No, you
have to have a 3D printer also.
You don't have to. I mean, if you want to print it out, you can use a 3D printer, but you can put it into Maya or InDesign and use it as so you want to put it in a video game you're making or use it for an animation you're doing. You just put it right in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
It sounds cool.
Yeah.
It sounds cool.
I'm going to show you the video, and then you're going to be like, no, that's really fucking cool.
I want to experience VR. I've only experienced VR in when I was at Sundance.
Oh, yeah.
We did
a
VR thing, and it was cool. And Nicole got scared when we were doing it because we were, like, the thing was like a jungle scene. And she's like,
because she's like, oh no, now she's never going to stop watching porn.
No.
Wait, what? How did we jump from jungle scene to porn?
No,
I mean, I know how I got there.
The VR porn. You've seen those VR porn reactions? Like, people put the VR porn on?
No.
And they're watching it and they, like, start gyrating. Like,
no way.
Because the sensory feedback, like, you start moving with it and, like,
what?
And they're like, whoa, this is really real. Like, and they start, like, trying to touch things. And
how long is it before we get full bodysuits that
they're already coming out?
Wait, can I?
15 years.
Ready?
No, they're already coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for dudes
with, like, sensory feedback.
Yes.
Is it just for crotch or is it, like, a full bodysuit?
It is actually a full bodysuit. I don't know how much.
Getting right to the important.
I don't know how much haptic feedback it's giving to your entire body, but I know there's a contraption for your.
Well, because. We're moving into Tunnel of Love territory here, but like part of the lovemaking experience is like the finger touch on the chest and like the
nibbling of the ear and whatnot.
You promised me you wouldn't talk about it outside.
It's all right. You've got dynamite areolas.
Dynamite Areola sounds like a really awesome band name.
That's a great name.
Punk band.
Yep.
Really awesome punk band.
So,
sorry.
No, it's good.
A little bit more of that. Can the face and body be anyone, or is it just like
right now it's just actors that they put in actors?
Yeah, right now they're doing just regular porn, but with like the 360 degree cameras.
Which actors?
tell me more.
But are you talking about like customizable, like put a face, like
yes.
Wow. Well, that's gonna happen eventually.
No,
but which actors right now?
Vince Steele.
I don't
porn
know.
Porn actors.
I don't know. You could probably eventually sub in.
I feel like you should go and find out for us.
Investigative journalism.
I feel like the haptic feedback suit could be very dangerous.
If you turn the sensitivity all the way up and you vibrate yourself to death?
Or I actually just mean, like, what if you click on the wrong video?
Oh, God.
Like,
no, I didn't want to watch puppies. John Cena meme. What have I done?
Right. Like, what happens if, like, you're clicking around on your Pornhub or whatever, and all of a sudden, like, you end up with an experience you don't necessarily want to end up with in a haptic suit?
Well, like, from what I understand right now, there's no the contraption only, like,
you've
links
researched
up
this way more.
No, it's on the Facebook.
I don't care. You just told me in 2 to 5 years I can have sex with Bruce Campbell. That's the only part I cared about.
Well.
Done and done.
And now that's what I've heard.
Cannot unhear that.
You knew this.
I never said I didn't, but I know what I heard now.
Well, I think in 2 to 5 years, the VR technology is going to be to the point where
we all can have sex with Bruce Campbell.
Oh, no, me first. Specifically, Briscoe Campbell.
I don't know if I would ever feel comfortable.
Briscoe County Jr.
Like,
sorry.
Masturbating in a full haptic suit.
But you're not masturbating though.
It's doing it for
you. Like, you're having sex.
It would. It's just the amount of work it would take. Like. You have to put
it
on.
It takes a lot of work to get in, but then you don't have
to
put
sure
anywhere any work at all.
It takes a lot of work to have sex with actual Bruce Campbell, but, you know, this is the next best thing.
That's
true. They did put out a new app, though. Pornhub, same company.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Basically, it's
something BangFit?
BangFit.
Yeah, BangFit.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
What is this?
Where you?
I don't know.
Essentially, you hook it up to your phone.
Okay.
And it takes information from your, what do you call it? The gyro, the
gyroscope,
kinetoscope,
the gyroscope,
whatever the thing that measures like your steps and shit.
Oh, pedometer.
Pedometer.
Okay.
But it's something else.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Your GPS pedometer.
Why don't you nerds tell me what it is?
It's a GPS pedometer.
It links up to it that, and, it's basically like, a goal and. Get a point orientated system where, like, you have to hump in time with what's happening on the screen, and it'll tell you how much calories you burn specifically, so you can.
So it's
like,
a Fitbit for porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Wait, how does this work though? It'll show you porn, and then it'll be like hump to this.
No. Yeah. Well, it's like you get to. There's like an opening screen where it's like one player, two players, player, which is like if you have more than one.
This might be good as a personal trainer.
This might also
myself.
Be like the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard.
I have to know though now. Like
no, like this is horrendous.
I have to see what this is now that you've told me it exists.
You know, it's kind of like a dumpster fire or like a train wreck. You can't take your eyes off it,
I
and
know.
You just kind of want to know a little bit
I don't
more.
Want this.
I wish.
Would
I
you like to know more?
Would you like to know more?
Well, we'll find out more next time on our little show here. But until then, you've been nerd funneled
at pornhub.com.